Snags can't stop you. Okay? You know, there is a Greek word, and it's pronounced pragopto, or pragoptu. It's a makeup of a word, and it means, the etymology of it is just so beautiful in my mind, all right? It means that progress is made in spite of blows, okay? Now, and it means, it comes also from the etymology that the smith, a blacksmith, all right, that as hard as iron is, with his hammer, when he heats it and beats it, he makes it longer. He shapes it. It takes the blows to do it. And anytime you take God, anytime you intend to be a sweet Christian, and I'm not making light of that, it's a beautiful thing, you're going to get blows. Okay? That's part of it. And the thing is when you mature to the point that you understand the word, that you can say, hey, bring it on. Come on down. Okay? Because we have power over them. The little thing, little ants can't hurt you. Stomp on them. Okay? I mean, save all that can be saved, and those that get in your way, push them out of the way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Okay? When you're taking Christ's word forward. So, I think that pragopto is a fantastic, usually it's translated into the English, excuse me, I should have said that, as furtherance or progress, getting ahead, all right? That's the way it's usually utilized in the scriptures, and we're going to go to a few of those places today. I want to encourage you that regardless of what some men say, you stick to Father's word and be ready to be blessed. Because God will bless you. It's period. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. As long as you're doing His will, He's one fantastic Father, and He keeps things in shape. It's real easy for an old Marine to teach this lecture today, you know. You don't let the blows stop you. You know, if anything, let it get your ruffles up to where you can get on through there, all right? You can take care of business. So, Paul, sometimes Christians will, if the least little thing happens to them, oh my goodness, why would God let this happen to me? What kind of talk is that? 99 times out of 100, God didn't let it happen anyway. You let it happen. If God gives you power over certain things and you let it happen, poor you. You're just not quite, you're not quite with it yet. Because you've got to stand up and stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Hey, listen to me. You're one of God's elect. Do you think, you know, Satan's got most of the world. You're one of those that like to study his word. Do you think Satan doesn't have his sights on you? I mean, he's got the rest of them. Naturally, he has his sights on you. And if you think just because you love the Lord, he's going to leave you totally alone, you are mistaken. But you have power over him. It's written, Luke, the great book of Luke declares that. That we have power over all of our enemies. All of, that's not just part of them, all of them. Now, as we serve God, here we're going to take old Paul as an example in the book of Philippians this morning, if you want to be turning there. Paul's in prison. I mean, the man, he was imprisoned in Philippi, and at the time of this writing, he's in bonds in Rome. Did that stop him? What if he were one of these people that would say, oh, how did the Lord let this happen to me that I'm the greatest preacher on earth at this time and here I am in chains? I'm in prison. What was he in prison for? For teaching the word of God. He did not let it stop him. A great deal of the New Testament was written by him from prison. Okay? What, again, in prison for what? Drunk driving? No. Nobody listens to a drunk. He was in prison for teaching God's word. Okay, Philippians, let's go with it. The title, Snags Can't Stop You. Don't ever let a snag get you down. You know, do you know that Satan stands over in the corner and applauds when you get disgusted or down by a snag? And that was supposed to be one of God's nicest. That was supposed to be one of God's children. Look what I've got him doing. Don't you ever let him put you in that position. You stand up and you act like a child of God. When a snag happens, fix it. Take care of business. God has given you the authority, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the power to do it. Do it. Okay? Now, okay. The great book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10. Let's pick it up there. Let's listen to Paul a moment. Paul says, that you may approve things that are excellent. That means test, analyze, discern, that you think about them, and you approve them or disallow them, that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. If you analyze the word and people that teach, if you always test your teacher against the word of God, if he or she isn't teaching the word of God, don't go. It's just, you're wasting your time. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. You know, if you're filled with righteousness, that is to say with wanting to do what's right, there's not too much room for trouble. Not too much can slip in, but it will, some will. But don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? You can cut it. You don't have to worry about it. Verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, get this in your head, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance. That's prokopto of the gospel. Regardless of the blows, it's moved the gospel ahead. We've grown by it. Even though it was trouble, we have turned it around in our favor. Now that's the way you handle it, my friends. Regardless of the blows Paul received, being in prison, again, for teaching the word of God, he has manifested the church in many places, made it available to people, and still writes from the wonderful word of God even while he's in prison. Why? Because he was smart. He was intelligent. He knew how to get around the enemy and even converted many of the enemy whereby they would give him paper and pencil. Would it be better to say papyrus and scribe, whatever, okay? Date yourself. Anyway, they helped him. Now that's the way to do it. Use Satan to your advantage or his people. Convert them. Use them. Nothing wrong with that. But this word furtherance is progopto. And it means just that, to get ahead regardless of the blows. And to me, that says so much. It really does. It's furtherance, all right? And that's how you get ahead in life, is one that can take the blows and smile and just run over them, okay? That sounds a little cruel, doesn't it? Don't let them take advantage of you, all right? Again, it's hard for an old Marine not to be a little salty, all right? But a teacher of God's Word should be a little salty, too, all right? If somebody is trying to stop Christ's work, I say run over them. There's a whole lot of difference in converts and somebody that's getting in the way. You understand? You cannot allow it. You have to push them aside, get rid of them. So that's a fantastic word, that furtherance, furthering God's word. You might say, why? Why? It saves souls. It lets people find comfort. it gains them success by God's blessings. You can't afford, as a person of God, to let somebody stand in the way of that. That'd be a sin. So it's such a wonderful thing, the furtherance of the good news. That's what the gospel is, the good news from God. Really, we could say, he's saying, children, I want to bless you. Don't let, test the people. Don't let them rob you of that. Don't let them take that away from you. And even if they throw blows at you, handle it. Take care of business. Okay, verse 13. So that my bonds, even though I'm in prison, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all. It's known throughout. Even though it is known I'm in prison, we're growing. In all the palace and in all other places, that the truth of Christ goes forth. Nothing can stop it. The blows can't hurt it, even though I'm in prison. So the next time you have one of those little snags in your day, laugh at yourself and take care of it. You let it happen. Fix it. Maybe sometimes we bring things on ourselves, my friend. I don't know any of us that are perfect. I'm almost. I still got a few snags. I'm working on it. Hey, don't ever give up, all right? But none of us are perfect. Sometimes we let our guard down, or we might have said something jokingly to somebody that was taken the wrong way, and they threw a loop in your chain, okay? So handle it. Fix it. Life is not that serious that you can't say, man, did I blow it that time. I'll fix it. I'm big enough. I'm a child of God. I can fix it. All right. And if it's done deviously to you, that doesn't matter either. Ask God to fix it. Or if it gets too close, fix it yourself. All right. That's the way you serve God. I guess I could put it another way, and sometimes I offend people. Do you see why it is God can't use a wimp? You know, God can't use a wimp if he can't take the blows. Oh, mercy, poor me. They're picking on me. Boy, if a real man wants to, or woman wants to do harm to themselves, just say publicly, they're picking on me. There's another way to say it. I'm going to stop this junk, okay? You know, there's just a different way to say that. That's the way a child of God takes care of business in some cases. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, what are they? These are brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear of consequences. They see me teaching this word, though I'm in prison, right here in Caesar's jailhouse, though it was his palace. He had pretty free range, friend. He knew how to twist the doorknobs, all right, and people's minds to help him. God was a lot at the chain doing this, though, okay? Paul did all right in prison. But he said, it gives people hope because I'm not down. Now, what is he saying? Okay, you are a teacher of God's word, and people are expecting you to pick them up. And you say, why did God let that happen to me? Will y'all pray for me? Well, what good? How's that going to pick you up? If you're a child of God and people have been watching you, receiving blessings, and all of a sudden, your mainspring comes unwound, okay, and you're down and out, and you're saying, God shouldn't do that to me. You're going to make them run, run, run. What an example you set, okay? Now, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm saying, look at life. Look at reality. I'm a realist, okay? Been there, done that, just about know what hell's like up in... When there's 12,000 of you and there's 320,000 Chinese, you're in hell, friend, for a little bit. I know what that feels like. And so life is not that serious Okay? When you take care of business, when you test, and when you analyze, it's a pretty good old world for God, people that love God, for people that serve God. Why? God takes care of his own. That's just the way it is. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. There's a few of them out there that, because they are envious of Paul, I mean, how he's getting ahead, they try to take advantage of that to get some converts, probably those back to trying to get them to go back to the old school, okay? In other words, to forsake Christ and go back to the teachings of the Old Testament. These are my personal opponents. Do you think Paul let that, even though he was in prison, do you think that got him down? Because there were a few yahoos out there trying to play preacher? Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They do that to try to gall me. Why would God use a prisoner? Well, it's according to what he's a prisoner for. Okay. Verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. People, don't worry about little people that might take a stand against you, putting little snags out in front of you. You stick to the word, and you'll never have to apologize. Stick to God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and you will never have to apologize to a preacher, a seed planter, or a Christian. Verse 18, what then? What can we say about this? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Even though I'm in prison, even though the blows are coming at me and they're falling on me, even though some of the people that have heard me teach may be trying to make preachers out of themselves, it doesn't bother me. I don't worry, because God's word is being preached. As a matter of fact, you're reading Philippians right here. Do you know where it was written? It was written in prison. And the word still came forth. Not in prison for some drunk driver or some no good, but in prison for teaching the word of God. Okay? Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is as it is. Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will always carry you through, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that will be that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. He didn't care. He was ready to go. If the sentence come down from his bondage, hang him. He was ready, because he knew where he would be. He'd be present with the Lord. He knew that, and he taught it. So, be bold in the gospel. I didn't say be obnoxious in the gospel. Be bold in it. Right. Bring the word forth and let it fall on ears, and let people take. Do you know, it is a common thing with man that he must have faith in something. A person can't hardly live, and I'm talking about even aside from Christianity, they got to believe in something to even exist. So when we have the perfect plan from the Savior himself that we can live and practice, how fortunate indeed we are. So to make progress regardless of the blows, prokopta, that's the Greek word, don't let a few blows stop you. You get in there and fight. And again, For something to really turn out better, the etymology of the word again. From a blacksmith taking a big old hammer and an anvil, heating the iron, which nobody can hardly bend, beating it with blows, and it's longer. It's shaped. Sometimes it takes, what is God saying? Sometimes it takes a few blows to get things squared away right, okay? To cause people to think, to cause people to assay, to judge value in their own lives. Let's go to the book of Timothy, if we may, where Paul is still going. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul has inserted, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's kind of young, okay? He was, at the time of this writing, he was probably about 30. When he first started working with Paul, he was only probably about 22. And, you know, usually mature people will, if you've got some young whippersnapper comes along, even if they have the correct knowledge, sometimes they get turned off because of their youth. You understand where, some of you have been there, you know, you were young once, okay? You know where I'm coming from. So Paul was trying to instill knowledge and insert supervision to enable Timothy to take care of himself. So in teaching this young person, chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times..." Well, when is that? Well, just before the end. "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We know the apostasy is coming. You're going to have some people that will say, Antichrist is already here, before he's actually kicked out of heaven. Do you understand what that does to people? It throws them totally off guard for the actual event. It's cruel. It's ignorant. It's misleading. Stick to the word exactly as it's written. Speaking, verse 2, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." You know, years ago when someone was out in the, maybe you were on the ranch in the back 40 sections, and you got cut real bad and there wasn't any way to stop the bleeding, you had to heat a hot iron and sear the wound. Do you know what I'm talking about? To sear a wound whereby it stopped bleeding, and then it would heal, and it also at the same time would kill germs and disease, that heat would. But do you know what happens whenever you do a place that way, like a burn? You lose your feeling there. It has no feeling. And that's what he's talking about here. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, just like you would cauterize a wound. Your mind is just, there's no feeling there as far as conscience is concerned of what is right. Okay? Verse 3, "forbidding to marry." In other words, there are some people that say, as long you can never marry, even if your husband left you and went off to Turkey somewhere with some turkey. Okay? I better apologize to Turkey for that, but whatever. Okay? You can't marry. Well, now God made us, if you're used to having a mate, God made us friendly creatures that need companionship. Okay? And it can drive, I have no one in my lifetime as a pastor of a few that have gone crazy. I'll just put it plain like it is. Because of religion that told them they could never marry again when they were young and should have been. Regulating, listening to men's doctrines rather than teaching the real truth, you understand? And commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received. Now you see, a lot of people will read over that. Right here it says God made all meats edible. You can eat all the pig you want to. Even if it makes you look like one, you just dig in there for him. Dig in. It's all right. Well, that isn't what it says. Okay? It says, which God hath created to be received. There are a lot of things he created not to be received. Why? It's poison. It'll get you. Okay. Example, while I've gone this far and got myself in hot water, I might as well try to bail out a little bit. Swine were made to clean up disease. They have no pores. They have, you know, we have pores where we can sweat poison out. When you get a fever, what happens? When you're sick and you got poison in your system, you get a real high fever, and what happens? Boy, it opens up the gully. And I mean, you perspire and get rid of the poison in your system, the fat. But with a pork, they can't do that. All that poison is right there in the fat. Anyway, I'm gonna get away from that, okay? That God created to be received, okay, with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For this is where they get thrown off, see, for every creature of God is good. It is good. Pork is good. A pig is really one of the most wonderful things to have around the place. It keeps all the disease down. Okay? But that didn't say you should eat it. Okay? And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, by God's orders and by God's instructions. Okay? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, Paul teaching Timothy, of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Always stick with good doctrine. Well, where do I get good doctrine? Your fathers. It's the only doctrine there is that's worth anything. You know, give or take. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. It's good to be in good shape and work out and exercise. You know, keep the body tone right up there and keep yourself in good shape. But also exercise your mind in truth. Okay? 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Don't ever think Paul is knocking physical exercise here. He's not. Why does he say it's of little help? Well, what are you going to get rid of at the seventh trump? This body. So it's only for a little while, whereas when you exercise your mind and spirit in the eternal life, it's forever. Okay, that's what he's saying. As a matter of fact, Paul was in good shape. He recommended exercise. He even mentions shadow boxing in one of his other gospels. So I don't want anyone to say, well, Paul said exercise is not good for you, so I'm going to sit on the couch potato, or the couch like a potato. Okay. Verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. In other words, why would they do that? Why would they suffer reproach because they believe in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe? There's going to be some blows. Don't worry about it. You can cut it. God made you so tough spiritually that they can't dent your armor. You've got it on, haven't you? Right, the spiritual armor. 11. These things command and teach. This is what you do. This is teaching Timothy to carry forth seed, okay? Let no man despise thy youth. Don't let any man try to think just because you're young, you're not well founded in the word. But I would advise you, be well founded, all right, even if you are young, and never be afraid to say, well, I don't know, let's look it up. Okay, that's good. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Show them. Be there. Live it. Reality. 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. You public reading, you do it. To exhortation, to doctrine. Base your instructions on the Word of God. Base your church upon the Word of God. In your church, feed the people the Word of God, and you can't hold them all. Okay? Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Well, what gift is that? The word gift in the Greek is charisma. Don't neglect the gift God gives you. You've got something that's a blessing to other people, which was given thee by prophecy, and of course we're singling out Timothy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, the elders, laid hands on, ordained. 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. I mean, you think about it. You live in it, okay? That the profiting, there's your word, okay? The progress that may appear to all, prokopi. Just because the blows come, don't quit. Move ahead. Because it will appear to all that you come out a shining knight of God, okay? A winner. One carrying forth. One that's got it. And it is Christ. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. That's the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Not only yourself, but people that hear you. Beloved, that's what should be important to you. That you can be a blessing to others. Do you know that people talk about Jabez's prayer, and they try to copy it, and I don't know what's wrong with them. The only reason God answered Jabez's prayer is he was thinking about others instead of himself. You know, can't they see that? Jabez was nothing all that special. It's just that he cared about others receiving the truth. And that if God could help him, he would be in a position to help others. That's a great lesson to learn, my friend, in your lives, in planting seed or anything else, is to study for knowledge, not just selfishly. I'm ashamed to admit it, but that's the way I started out as a Christian. I wanted answers. I wanted them then. I didn't care about what anybody else believed or anything else. I wanted to know myself what the manuscript said, just selfishly, because I knew there was a God, and I would go to different scholars, so to speak, and say, explain this to me. And you know what they would say? We're not supposed to know that. Have faith. I said, I got lots of that. I need answers. So I started out studying strictly for self. But God didn't begin to bless me until I began to share the knowledge that I gained from this word, which is God's knowledge, not mine. So remember that. Study to show yourself approved, but share it. That's what causes the message to grow. Do you know something? That's why little ants can't stop you. Even if it's personal attacks, God will ring their bell, okay? If you ignore the blows and keep pouring on truth and helping people, God will take care of business that you can. But he expects you to take care of everything you can, or he won't lift a finger to you. Won't lift a hand to help, I should say, I guess. But anyway, Father loves you, and he loves the Word. Okay, while we're in Timothy, let's go on to 2 Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 we're going to go to, all right? With the same thought in mind, you're going to receive blows when you're moving ahead in the gospel. I'm not trying to instill in your mind that receiving blows is a pleasure necessarily, but it's a pleasure to take care of business. All right, it truly is. When you begin exercising faith, and you understand that the Spirit of your Heavenly Father saddles up with you and rides with you to take care of business. Fascinating, overpowering. What a blessing. Chapter 2, verse 14 of the great book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. And it reads, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." In other words, teach things that's not to start arguments or to argue the Bible, but to bring forth truth that gives direction, that brings salvation. Verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." That's to say that you're approved. That's assayed. It plays back. Remember, we did a lecture on that not too many months ago, or maybe years. Things kind of run together on me. But assay it. After you've been assayed, you should be all right to go. All right, keep it that way. "Unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Stick to the word. Why? It's written. And as it's written, that's how it's going to come to pass. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. Verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Do you know what this word increase is? It's prokopta. In other words, it's going to get worse. It's going to further. And here, prokopta, not prokopta, is in a negative sense. It's going to grow, so don't let it surprise you. Verse 17, "And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow to the faith of some." People that chronologically teach things out of order do great harm to God's children. Like saying the Antichrist is already here. These two said the resurrection's already taken place. Well, yeah, that's idiocy. Well, if someone said the Antichrist was already here, well, they're ignorant, because, yes, in spirit, Satan has always been here. But he's going to be booted out of heaven for a short time, de facto. He's coming, as it is written. It is written, it shall happen that way. Don't let man rob you of that. Why would it hurt if I believed that man that it had already happened and he was here? Well, when de facto he came and began to operate in a supernatural sense, you might believe it was real Christ. You've got to keep yourself chronologically in order, rightly dividing the word. Do you know what rightly dividing the word means? It means time, who, when, and where. And you better get it all aligned. And you better keep it in order, because that's exactly how it's going to happen. And don't let some Jake leg come along. And you all know what a Jake leg is. Probably I shouldn't use that. They've kind of bombed out up here because of here. Okay? And give you some bum information. All right? Now, stay in truth. But that's, even they are going to increase. 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that, we got that. 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. It's got what? This seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the Lord of Christ, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you know what that seal is? And do you know why God knows you for it? Do you remember Revelation chapter 9, verse 4? He said, Satan, you can't, don't you dare go down there and touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. That's to say the name of the true Christ, that are not deceived by the fake. Okay? The fake cannot tempt someone that knows he's the devil. We find him rather to be an abomination. Robbing and stealing your brothers and sisters from their eternal salvation. And we don't like that. That's still why things must be kept in chronological order, to see that somebody doesn't mess up. But that's what their false teachings, babblings, brought to pass. Let me tell you something. God won't bless false teachings very far. Satan will. God won't. Okay, so you don't have to worry. Don't ever get in a sweat about false teachers. They're not going anywhere. Okay? Verse 20, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What makes the difference? Verse 21, if a man, there's no gender here, man or woman, therefore purge himself from these. These what? Well, what was the subject? Babblers, false teachers, people that do not bring the truth. You purge yourself away from them. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In other words, God can use you then. He cannot use you until then, until you purge yourself from false teachings. Now, to conclude, you don't have to go very far. We're just going over to chapter 3 of this same book, 2 Timothy. There is some excellent teaching here, and I'm going to go through it rather rapidly because I want to cover the whole chapter to secure what we have taught. And it'll just take just a moment. A minute or two. Chapter 3, verse 1. This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's going to wax a little worse, but hey, does that bother you? It shouldn't. We can cut it. Hey, we were born ready. Okay. And we can hack it. No problem. All right. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, when I was a lad, you were taught that as you approached a building, you went to open the door and said, come in, mother. And it seems like sometimes I notice when I go to these public places, I've seen young gentlemen, I don't want to use gentlemen, run over old women getting in a door. Prophecy. Observe and learn. Why? The generation that were deceived by Satan in the first earth age are living now. I have seen this come to pass as these children have been born. We got some good ones, really good ones. But we got some that are very disobedient. I'm not judging people. I want you to know that. But you see, God is kind and fair. He wouldn't cast the Antichrist out on people that had not accepted him before. That's why they're here now. Okay? That's why the children are born now. That's not saying all children are bad. Please do not think I'm saying that. I'm saying just observe what's going on in this world, okay? Verse 4, did we get to 3? No, let's do 3, okay? Without natural affection. There is so much perverted and unnatural stuff going on that it's disgusting, and I'll say nothing else about it. Truth breakers, false accusers, that's gossipers. Incontent, that means without self-control. furious, despisers of those that are good. They really like to tear people up that are good. You know, it is nothing in schools for bad to try to drag good into their fold, into their lot. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They leave God out of the equation. And why wouldn't that be when, as you know, the Supreme Court itself is trying to drive God out of our vocabulary? And I feel sorry for good teachers today that have to be ever so careful about what they say for fear of offending some perverted-minded child or parent. We are the majority, and the majority rules. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We got lots and lots and lots of Christians. And I'm not going to judge them. They claim to be Christians. You know, if you see the folks going to church, they never carry Bibles. And I don't know what they do there. I don't go in anymore. I give up. That's why I had to start teaching myself. And I'm not saying all of them are that way. I'm not being judgmental. I don't want to leave that impression. But at least I want to have your eyes open where that you can analyze. They claim to be, and it's dangerous when they claim to be and they're not. This is why Jesus in Mark 13, when he said the Antichrist is coming, he said, don't let man deceive you, because many are going to come in my name claiming to be Christ or Christian. I claim to be a Christian preacher. We're going to have bingo tonight. Not that there's any sin in bingo, just don't have it on your sermon, all right? B24. I don't know if that number even fits or not, but I just thought I'd say that. 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, insensitive in other words, and lead captive silly women or silly men, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Women get a bad rap from the writers, okay? It means both. Don't ever kid yourself. It means wrong teachings. And I don't know that God ever preferred a sex to follow wrong teachings. I've seen both, just as many, okay? 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They just can't grab the full simplicity in which Christ teaches. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, they were able to handle some pretty good stuff. Aaron threw his rod down, and man, I'm telling you, it turned into a big old snake. And Jambres and Jannes threw their rods down, and they turned into a bunch of snakes. But Moses' snake ate them up. Okay, now that's spiritual stuff that's pretty potent. Okay, that means we're going to come to that, friends. I'm not saying we're going to be eating snakes. Now, don't misread me. But you're going to have supernatural entities, both teaching and preaching. You better be ready for it. But they shall proceed no further. This word proceed, guess what it really is? It is proc opto. The blows are going to stop it in this case, because God will be delivering the blows. Proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Most men that count are going to recognize falseness when it appears here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Timothy, you know that I've worked hard, Paul says, with all these beatitudes with me. Persecutions, afflictions which came into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. It don't matter about the hard knocks. Paul came through. He wrote this to you so that when something happened in your life, you wouldn't turn into a poor me baby, but you would say, let's fix it and let's move. Let's proceed, regardless of the snags. Regardless of the problems, we can cut it. God has promised it. It is written. It is so. And move. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Have you ever wondered why you get a little persecution every once in a while? Maybe it's because you're living godly in Christ Jesus. It's expected, friend. This is a wicked world. It's Satan's hour. You're going to have a little bit of persecution, but hey, bring it on. Do you know something? You need something to keep you awake. You need something to keep you sharp so you don't get bored in life. That you got a little problem out there serving God that you can handle and take pride in that sense. It's good for you to have a little trouble so you can fix it, okay? For the right reason, of course, teaching God's word, living his word. 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This wax worse is prokopta again. It's going to increase. We can cut it. No problem. Don't worry. But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're from God's word. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You've known there was more to it, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Where is it? In Christ Jesus, being interpreted, Christ, Christos, the Messiah, the anointed one with the oil of our people, Jesus, Yeshua, which is to say, Yahweh, Savior, that gets it done. 16, to conclude this lecture, all Scripture, how much of it? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means fresh. You're never going to be perfect, okay? Though I even teased earlier about I'm almost there. I'm not, okay? And thoroughly furnished unto all good works, all right? All good works. We're going to trip. We're going to have problems. We're going to receive a few blows. Bring them on. Bring them on. We can handle it. We can cut it. When it comes to our spirit, we're big. Okay. When it comes to Satan's spirit, he's little. Don't dare. You have power over him. Do you know something? He's afraid of you. Do you know why he's afraid of you? Because when you have power over him, anytime he sends some little evil spirit along your way and you in Christ's name order it back where it came from, it's death for it. They don't like death. And when they see you, they know that you can pull the guillotine spiritually. And they don't like that. So they're going to tippy-toe around you unless you open up and let them in, and then here they come. There's going to be a few blows. So who cares? Quite frankly, have you ever gone to a boxing match and observed it? Didn't both people kind of receive a few blows, or it wasn't really a good fight, was it? And I'm not liking that necessarily into teaching God's word. But spiritually, it's maybe sometimes worse. You're going to have blows. Don't worry about it. Bring them on. We can cut it. We can handle it. You know why I say that? You might say, well, why would you ask for it? You'll always be stronger afterwards. God will love you more, and you'll receive more blessings for taking care of business. Heavenly Father, We thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for the word that gives us the authority, Father, to be thy children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John that